Congregation, we come this afternoon to the final stage of our journey through the armour of God. Isn't it convenient that for the last Sunday that I'm preaching on in 2014 that we should complete our journey? Isn't that convenient? Some planning did go into that, I do admit, but even then sometimes we make our plans and God sets them aside and something unintended crops up, but not on this occasion. What have we seen so far? We've seen that to be a Christian is to be in a spiritual battle. A battle where our enemy isn't other people around us, annoying as they can be at times. More than annoying, even trying to bring us down at times. But they are not our enemy. Our enemy, as we've seen, is Satan himself. The deceiver, the ancient serpent who makes cunning, or who has cunning and crafty schemes to try to make you fall. Not just people in general, but you. Tailor-made plans. Plans to attack you at the weak points in your life. But knowing that hasn't caused us to despair or give up, because we're expecting this battle. This is a battle we're anticipating. We aren't caught off guard when we find ourselves in the thick of things. And nor are we unprepared to do battle. We're not defenseless. We've seen that God has given us his own armor in this battle. We're not relying upon ourselves, we're not relying upon our own resources as we fight in this battle that God's placed us in. We're relying upon what God has given us. We began with the belt of truth. Maybe I should have run this through as a little bit of a quiz tonight so you could tell me what we've been talking about, but I won't do that for you this afternoon. We began with the belt of truth, the word of, Ed's taken away the little pictures there. Good on you, Ed. We began with the belt of truth, now the word of God and all that it teaches. That was foundational for us. We then went on to look at the breastplate of righteousness, how we rely upon the saving work of Jesus and how that gives us hope when we're tempted to despair or to doubt whether God would receive us. We looked at the feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. The gospel gives us that sure foundation on which we can turn. We looked at the shield of faith, faith in God's promises and in his word, which extinguishes all of the different fiery, flaming arrows of the evil one. We saw that the shield didn't look like the sort of shield up there on the wall, but it was a big Roman shield, about as big as one of those tables in the coffee hall, which you could hunker down behind and would protect you as you went on the attack. We looked at the sword of the Spirit, which was the Word of God, used to both parry Satan's attacks with the Word of God and used offensively to win souls for the kingdom. And, of course, also the helmet of salvation. And we saw how the hope of our final salvation, we saw that we have been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. And the hope of that final salvation when the Lord returns or when we join the Lord in heaven, motivates us and gives us the strength we need to press on. Six different items of armor. Do we have a seventh this evening? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. The short answer to that question is prayer, the seventh item of the armor that God has given us. The short answer is no. Prayer isn't an item of God's armor per se, although as we're going to see, it's very closely related. We'll see that close connection in the closing song we're going to sing in response this afternoon. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And the line I have in mind is in verse 3. Put on the gospel armor, keep watch with constant prayer. That's how the Book of Worship puts it, although the more common rendering, I think, is better. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. And I edited this, the PowerPoint slides, so we're going to sing that proper verse the way it should be this afternoon. I think that's the right way, though, to understand this inclusion of prayer right at the end of the spiritual armor that Paul's been looking at. Not just as one more, one additional item of armor, but something that encompasses everything that we do in the battle. Just as oil is essential for an engine to run, prayer is needed for each and every part of every item of our armour. In every aspect of our struggle with Satan, we need prayer. And so as we draw our series on the armour that God gives us for the spiritual battle to a close, we leave on a note of prayer. Prayer is where it all begins. Prayer is vital if we are to stand firm against Satan and his crafty schemes. So what does God's word teach us about prayer this afternoon? Well, there's one word in our text, as we have it up on the board there, that my message is going to revolve around. It's a word that shows up four times. Four times in the text. Can anyone see what it is? Four times. You see any words there that appear four times? All? Three times. John's right, though, actually, because if you have an NIV, then you're playing out of luck in participating in this guessing game, because look as hard as you like, that doesn't have, there are no words that are repeated four times, but it is the word all indeed, and the NIV uses the word always there for the third time, and that just kind of throws our count out a little bit. So let's dive into the four alls that Paul gives us this afternoon. The first of those is on all occasions. We're to pray on all occasions. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So the first reminder that Paul would give us concerning prayer is that we are to pray always. On all occasions. Not sometimes, not on some occasions, but on all occasions. What that means is that there is not a single temptation that you or I, whether we face in the Christian life, where prayer is not the appropriate response. It means that in any trial or any struggle that you face, prayer is appropriate. It means that in any service that you attempt for God, prayer goes hand in hand with action. Every occasion calls for prayer. One reason why we want prayer to pervade, to permeate through through the character of our church. And while not denying that we can be formalistic about our prayers and say them by rote or similar things by rote, that's why we pray as a session before each worship service. It's why the music team do so on Sunday as well. It's why we pray when we visit one another pastorally. It's why our cadets and GEMS leaders pray together. It's why we pray in our home groups. Why we pray in our church meetings. It's why we pray in our church. It's also why our denomination recognizes the importance of prayer as one of the tasks in the fourfold task of the church. On all occasions, we are to pray. Always. What does it mean to pray not only on all occasions, but those more enigmatic words there, but to do so in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit on all occasions? I understand that to mean according to the power of the Spirit at His prompting as we are led by the Spirit. Paul expresses that earlier in our reading before from Romans 8, how the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. At times we don't know what to pray. And I was talking with someone who even this morning, who said that to me. Sometimes they don't know what to say, what to pray, and the Spirit prays for us. Or the Spirit gives us, for example, the Psalms, words that express prayers that we sometimes wouldn't be bold enough to think that we could pray such words to God Himself, but the Spirit gives those words to us. Just as Jesus always prays for us from the Father's right hand. So the Spirit prays for us and guides us and directs our thoughts and our words and our prayers. I find the way that Joel Beakey describes the Spirit's work in our prayer lives really helpful, like this. He says, a small boy was being taught how to steer a ship by his father. As the boy began to steer, the father stood directly behind him on the bridge. Father knew that if he didn't help his son, then the boat would crash on the rocks or be capsized or swept away in the swift current. But what their father didn't do, he didn't push his son aside saying, well, look, this is really important, this is really crucial, I should take the wheel. And he leaned over his son, around his son, and he put his hands on his son's hands on the wheel. And through his father's guidance, the son steered the ship to safety. Likewise, my friends, we pray best when the Spirit grips our hearts and guides our thoughts, steering us into in the course that he has charted for us. So just as that boy perhaps couldn't steer the ship on his own or do so very well or very safely, so we cannot pray rightly without the work of the Spirit. So let us have confidence in him and seek to be filled with him. And so let us be people of prayer. Prayer on all occasions, let prayer fill the spiritual battle that we are fighting. Let us be filled with the Spirit, letting him guide our hearts and our thoughts and leading us in our prayers. We pray not only on all occasions, however, our prayers are also of all kinds. Because Paul continues, and pray with all kinds of prayer and requests. We're reminded here by Paul that prayer takes many different forms and many different kinds. There are requesting prayers as we pray for others or ourselves in the battle. There are prayers of praise, prayers of confession, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers where we just spend time enjoying God's presence, his presence with us in communion with him. There are public prayers like we have in our church. There's prayers in our homes, amongst our families. Prayers when it's just you and nobody else. Prayers with one another. There are written prayers or spontaneous prayers. There are ordered prayers like the Lord's Prayer, which we'll pray at the end of our service, or there's a prayer list. There are prayers when we pray whatever happens to be in our hearts. There are prayers where we speak aloud. There are prayers where we just pray in our minds. And the call to self-reflection this afternoon from Paul's words would be, is there this sort of variety of prayers in your prayer life? Do you pray on your own, for example? Do you pray with a plan? Do you have a regular time or a theme or a prayer list? Do you spend time in prayer just enjoying being with God? Not just having a shopping list for your prayers. Do you seek to pray when something comes to your mind at a random time during the day and you think, I could pray about that, or some concern comes to your mind? Do you just pray? Do you utter a quick prayer to God when you find yourself in the midst of temptation? Do you work hard to affirm what others are praying when others pray together on our behalf in church or in your family? Prayer is a bedrock of a strong foundation in relationship with God. You know, I think as well as I do, that it's hard to fake it when it's just you and God. You can have words come out of your mouth that might impress other people, but you realize God's not impressed by those. Prayer is so essential. In times when I've experienced prayerlessness in my life, things haven't been good between me and God. And maybe you share that experience this afternoon. But prayer is essential if we are to stand firm in the spiritual battle that we're experiencing and fighting. Paul wants us to stand firm with all kinds of prayers and requests. And not just praying once either. The third all that Paul encourages us to pray with is to pray with all perseverance. Pray on all occasions, all kinds of prayers. We're also to pray with all perseverance. As Paul says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. I'll be the first to admit this evening that there is something mysterious about prayer, and perhaps you'll agree with me in that. At times it's a struggle to believe that the God of heaven and earth listens to your prayers and acts in a way that he might otherwise not have done had you not prayed. I mean, who are we? Who are we that the God of all creation would listen to us? How does prayer work? How does it work? How, How does it interact with God's plan? Do you ever wonder any of those questions? I think Jesus recognized our temptation to perhaps get confused about prayer or give up on prayer, which is no doubt why he told us the parable of the persistent widow who kept on praying and praying without giving up until she obtained the justice that she sought. And so too now Paul encourages us to keep alert. Perhaps Paul's alluding here to the three disciples who slept while Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And not to give up, to persevere in prayer, to persevere in warfare prayer. Prayers for ourselves in the midst of the temptations we face. Prayers for others, prayers for their salvation, prayers that they too might stand firm against the enemy. I read that the Anglican Archbishop William Temple once declared that whatever else one might say about whether prayer worked, he had noticed that when he prayed, coincidences happened. And when he stopped praying, the coincidences stopped as well. So don't give up. That's Paul's encouragement to us this evening, congregation. Keep on praying. Keep on praying for your children who've turned away from the faith and from the Lord. Keep on praying for God's strength to be a help to you in the midst of temptation and sin. Keep on praying for the mission field that is around us. Keep on praying with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying. And then finally, Paul encourages us in the scope or the magnitude of our prayers, which are to be for all saints, for all the saints. Always keep on praying for all the saints. We're encouraged here tonight to love others as we might love ourselves. And then if we would pray for ourselves in the battle that is the Christian life, and we must pray for ourselves, then we should in love not only pray for ourselves, but for all the saints, for all God's people. For God will use our prayers, your prayers, for one another to help those around us stand firm. And maybe there are times, congregation, when we struggle as a congregation, or there are those who struggle in particular ways as a congregation, and the reason they are struggling and the reason why they fall is because we are not praying for one another. Of course, this call to pray for one another is nothing new. We've already promised to do this. For each child baptized in our congregation, we've promised to pray for that child. And then when that child went on to make a profession of faith, how did we respond? These are the words that we said. We rejoice in your profession and promise you our love, encouragement, and prayers. So what Paul's encouraging us to do this evening is none else than what we've already promised to do. We've made promises to do this. Perhaps that's been an area of weakness in your prayers at times, perhaps in recent times. You've remembered to pray for yourself. You've remembered to pray for your family in the spiritual battle. Perhaps you've even remembered to pray in general terms for us as your congregation. But what about praying for us by name? Customized prayers for each of us based on each one's need. You might say, well, I don't really know what that person's needs are. How can I pray for them? Perhaps that's true. So that means we need to invest more time in getting to know one another so that we can pray directly and specifically for one another in the ways that we need. If you're looking for a way to do that regularly, I know many people in our congregation use our church directory to aid them in their prayers. You might pray for one family, one name in the church directory each night as a family around the dinner table. You might go through that one by one. And Pastor John and I do that when we meet every Tuesday morning. We pray for two different families in the church every Tuesday. I myself, I use an app on my phone with each of you listed by name, and I pray for each and every one of you by name, at least twice a month, and some of you more often, for we're to be people, a people of prayer. People of prayer. John Stott once said, keep your eyes on the text, you'll notice the similarity here. He said, most Christians pray sometimes with some prayers, with some degree of perseverance, for some of God's people. But replace that word some with the word all, and we're introduced to a new dimension of prayer. This short series on the armor of God may come to a close this afternoon, and it will, I promise you that. But the battle continues. It's going to continue every day that's left, the rest of this year. It's going to continue into the new year and all the way through next year. This battle that we are waging, that we are facing, that we are experiencing, that we are struggling in, will continue for a lifetime. It will continue until the Lord returns or until he calls us into his presence. And so, yes, put on the full armor of God, each piece put on with prayer, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand. So congregation, stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in and through prayer. Amen.